If you'll follow along with me, I'm going to just kind of reference a couple of scripture passages that remind us about this place called Bethlehem. Hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, Micah wrote about the arrival of one who was to be ruler, one whose origins were from old, from ancient times, and he was to be born in Bethlehem. And the fulfillment of that was found in Matthew chapter 2. And we read there again that this was in fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. They told him that in Bethlehem of Judea, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will be a shepherd of the people. In Luke chapter 2 as well, we read in verses 1 through 7 of the coming of the Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered or taxed. This was the first taxing when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered or taxed, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is also called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and line of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. So a king was born. A king was born, and we find that the prediction many years before that was that he would be ruler. He would be a ruler. We find that as mentioning in Matthew's passage as well, when the wise men went to Herod and inquired, "Where is this one who is born king of the Jews?" Obviously, Herod didn't like that. He didn't want a rival. And so he was worried about this one and said, "Go find him and let me know about him." But he had no intentions, no good intentions of worshiping. He had other things in mind. But we find over and over again this matter of the small town, the small location, but a great king being the one that would arrive. Luke 2 reminds us again that he's of the line of David, a kingly line, predicted that he would come. But I really want to center in on this matter of born in Bethlehem. I mean, why Bethlehem of all places? Born in an unlikely city. Why not Jerusalem? Why not Nazareth? Jerusalem was mentioned over 600 times in the Old Testament. That was the center of religious activity and civil life. It was there that Solomon had his temple, the royal palace. It was there that it was the center of everything. Why not Nazareth, which was close to home, where Mary and Joseph were from? It seemed to make logical sense. Why not Rome? Why was he placed in an unlikely bed, a manger, a king, in a feeding trough, wrapped in unlikely attire? I mean, it goes against everything that we would imagine. You would imagine a house of royalty, a house of riches, a house of celebrity. You would imagine in Rome or Jerusalem or Athens or Alexandria. But why Bethlehem? I want to consider a few thoughts with you this morning. What are some of the things in history that have taken place in that little town called Bethlehem? I want to remind you a few, going way back in the Old Testament to a time of Jacob and Rachel. Jacob was later on called Israel, because remember the 12 tribes of Israel? 12 sons were from Jacob. Rachel was one of his wives, and Rachel was his favorite wife. And Rachel gave birth to, do you know, there's two boys in particular that we know of. Who was the first son that Rachel gave birth to? Anyone? Joseph. Joseph. So Joseph, we all know, you've seen some musicals about him, but Joseph was very well known in the Old Testament, took up a lot of the pages of Scripture, the latter part of Genesis. But the next son was called Benjamin. And I find it interesting that the circumstances surrounding Benjamin's birth were that she was en route to Bethlehem. She gave birth to Benjamin, and there Rachel died. A very sad thing. Here you have life, but you also have death taking place in a story years and years before the birth of Christ. Hold that thought. Second, the second thing that I thought about as it relates to Bethlehem and of significance to us today is the fact that Bethlehem was a place where we learned about the kinsman redeemer. Have you ever heard of that term before, or that phrase, kinsman redeemer? Let me give you a little background. There was a man and woman, Elimelech and Naomi, that left Bethlehem and went off into a land called Moab because of a famine. Elimelech went along with Naomi and their two sons. And in that land, the two sons found wives from Moab. So here you have Elimelech, Naomi, the two daughter-in-laws, and the two sons together in Moab. Tragedy hit. One by one, Elimelech died. The two sons died, and so you have the wife, the widow, left behind with two daughter-in-laws in Moab. Naomi was rather sad, you can only imagine that, and she said to her daughter-in-laws, "Stay in the land, I'm going back to Bethlehem." But there was a lady named Ruth. Ruth said, "No, I want to stay with you. Where you go, I will go." And so Ruth comes back to Bethlehem with Naomi. And there Ruth finds someone. Do you remember the someone that she found? Boaz. Boaz was a man from Bethlehem who, in a sense, basically, he is known as the kinsman redeemer. He was the next of kin who was responsible to take care of this widow named Ruth. The kinsman redeemer came alongside of Ruth and basically redeemed her, rescued her, delivered her from really what could have been chaos, trouble, and what was danger. And so he provided for her and then later married her, the kinsman redeemer. Again, a foreshadowing, pointing ahead to a time when Jesus would come to be our redeemer. I find Bethlehem is a fascinating place. And even the picture and the story of Rachel and delivering Benjamin, but then she passed away, is pointing to a time when one would be born, I believe, named Jesus. But in the midst of it, there would be death all around. In fact, do you remember in Matthew chapter 2? Just after, with the scripture reading that Brother Tony read, it talks about that Herod killed all the babies from 2 years of age and under. In that very same passage, it says, "Then was fulfilled when the mothers were crying out in agony over losing their child. Then was fulfilled what was spoken of by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and wailing, Rachel weeping for her children." So even from the time in Genesis, the story of Rachel, it's pointing to the time when babies would be killed as Herod was trying to kill that one that was called the king. It's pointing forward to that time that that would happen, and the mother, the Rachel, weeping for her children. So these are pointing to the birth of Christ, I believe, foreshadowing the birthplace of King David. Christ was in the line, the kingly line of David. Birthplace of David. David was a shepherd boy. Not much was happening in that quiet town, but David went on from that obscure village of Bethlehem and became a king. And later on, as he's running from Saul, he's trying to find a place with water. He's recalling the time when back in Bethlehem, as a shepherd boy, he remembered the cool drinks from Bethlehem. There was something special about the water from Bethlehem. When I go back in upstate New York, where my dad still lives with my stepmom, there's something special about the water in that area. Just it's out in the middle of nowhere, and yet they have good water. But here, a place of water, I find that interesting, maybe even pointing forward to the king, referring to Jesus, and the fact that he was offering living water. Again, conjecture, but I like to think about the connections here. Another event that took place, or another significant thing about Bethlehem, is that it is the fulfillment of the prophet Micah. Hundreds of years before, the prophecy was made, and Bethlehem, it all happened just like Micah predicted. So I'd like to give you some possible reasons. Why Bethlehem? These are only conjecture from my standpoint, but I think they all point to some reasons why a king would come to Bethlehem. First, maybe to point out that he was the servant king. His first coming, he came as a servant. He came as a humble king. He came to save his people from their sins. It involved suffering. It involved death. The birthplace in Bethlehem was possibly chosen to stress the simple and humble origin of both David and his future successor, Christ. His second coming will be very different from that. He will come to rule and reign for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom, but that was the reign of a servant king. He came, his purpose was to die for us. Second, why Bethlehem? To point out God's sovereignty. God is in control of all the events. It was no chance that Mary made it as far as Bethlehem. It was the original place where God designed for her to give birth. It was not by chance that they went off as Herod appointed all those his guards to go and kill all those 2 years of age and under. It was no chance that they made it to Egypt and that the Christ child was not killed. God is in charge of all things, all the events. Things happened just like he planned. Third, maybe to show the fact that God can be trusted. When God says something's going to happen, it happens. He has never gone against his word. He has never had to say, oops, I missed that one. That our God always gets things right, and he can be trusted. There's a lot of people today that cannot be trusted, but he is not one of them. Fourth, the name of Bethlehem itself means house of bread. House of bread. It's no chance that later on Christ said, I am the bread of life, offering what we need most, forgiveness of sins. It's to remind us possibly that God uses small things to confound the mighty. God delights in taking the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, and weak things to confound things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that he is the one who gets the glory. The Bethlehem experience also altered the lives of the wise men as they came from the east and came to Jerusalem and then eventually to Bethlehem. So why Bethlehem? We heard it in song. I mean, why not Paris, New York, or some other place, or Texas? Well, why Bethlehem? So that we might learn lessons of humility, to trust in the providence of God, to understand that what seems to be tragedy can be turned to triumph. It is to know that a house of bread and a well of water can meet the deepest yearnings and longings in our soul. It is to know that like shepherds and wise men, we can find him, bow to him in worship and adoration, and return another way as his rejoicing witnesses. Bethlehem. Christ the King was born in an unusual, unlikely, but wonderful place. A place 5 miles southwest of Jerusalem. That's the distance from my house to the church. That's why I settled there. No, not really. Bethlehem, not the place that you would choose for the birthplace of a king, but as is often his way, God has big plans for this tiny village. God has big plans for humble people, people who are looking to him and not saying, look at me. Christ the Lord, born in an unusual place, but a wonderful place. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll sing that song, two verses of that song. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the children. Thank you for their reminder in song and laughter and through wonderful little voices. They're pointing us to the reminder that Bethlehem seemed so insignificant, but yet it was a wonderful place where God came down in flesh and dwelled among us and can sympathize with what we are going through and came and lived a perfect life and then died on a cross so that we could have hope, so that we could have peace with you. Thank you, Father, for little places like Bethlehem. Thank you for little people like Mary and Joseph. Thank you for common folk like shepherds. You showed that you came to us all to provide hope, not because of our place and station in life, but because we have, by faith, chosen to believe and trust in you. Thank you for reaching out to us. While we were sinners, while we were rebels against you, you still sent your Son to die for us. It all began in a little place called Bethlehem. Thank you for the reminder today from your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen.